Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. We're going to read all the way through verse 21. Let's go ahead and pick it up right where we last left off. The scripture says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord here for us today. I want to go ahead and just jump right from Galatians a couple chapters back to the Gospel of John. And I want us to pull a verse out of Jesus's sermon to complement what we just read. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, "It is the Spirit who gives life." Now say this with me: "The flesh is no help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life." I've titled this message a simple title that I'm grabbing directly from the Lord Jesus himself. And the title of today's sermon is "The Flesh is No Help at All." Can I get an amen if you agree with that statement? That if you've lived life in the Lord long enough, you've come to realize that it is the Spirit who does give life, but the flesh is not a single bit of help will come from the flesh. Flesh is no help at all. And I believe this is what the Apostle Paul is trying to work out in Galatians 5, the second half of this chapter. Paul moves a little bit from the gospel in the air. And what I mean by that is the reality that Jesus plus nothing equals enough. The good news of the gospel, which is believed, not achieved. It's received through faith in Jesus. If there's any achievement, it's what Jesus achieved on the cross through his death and through his resurrection. And so gospel in the air is we put our faith in Christ. And through our faith in Jesus, we're born again into a right relationship with God the Father, and we have a security for our eternity in Christ. Amen? Now, gospel on the ground, here we are now on the ground. We're living life. We're trying to figure this out. How does Jesus plus nothing equal enough change us? How does that transform our thinking? How does that transform our living? And that's what Paul's getting into, some of the practical next steps of now walking out your faith. So what I want to do is I want us to look at these scriptures coming out of last week where Pastor Andrew talked about how we've been given this freedom that's in Christ, but we shouldn't use that freedom to bite and devour each other. That doesn't sound like a good church to be a part of. But we should use that freedom to serve one another with the spirit of agape love. That should be the tone and the posture of our heart here today. Verse 16 now, Paul is going to try to teach us how do we actually do it. So it doesn't just stay in our minds or in the pages of the Bible. It leads into our walk. I want to give you a three-point sermon. Come on. It's March Madness, y'all. We gotta lean into all the basketball analogies we can while we look at this verse today on the flesh and how the flesh is no help at all. Point number one, don't gratify the flesh, gratify the spirit. Amen. I think there's a real temptation in us to want to gratify the flesh. Now, let me briefly define the word gratify. The word gratify, it's a verb. Here's how the Oxford Dictionary defines it: to give someone pleasure or satisfaction, to indulge or satisfy a desire. So what the text is saying is don't gratify the flesh, gratify the spirit. What's that saying? Don't give the flesh pleasure or satisfaction. Don't allow the flesh to indulge or be satisfied, but in turn, put the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, in that place. We want the Holy Spirit to experience the pleasure and the satisfaction in us. Amen? Here's what he says in verse 16. Look at the scripture with me on the screen. Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So I want you to do some examination here today. I'm glad you made it to church. Somebody may be thinking, man, Pastor Hyden, he's preaching this sermon for me. Yes and no, right? I don't know who's showing up. I'm just glad you showed up. I know the Lord's showing up, but I believe since you did show up, the Lord's gonna show off in your life. And he's gonna do something in you. And through this time, here's what he wants you to do. He wants you to check yourself before you wreck yourself. He wants you to, I don't know who said that, but they were onto something, all right? To identify and do some reflection in your life and say, okay, hold on a second. Am I walking by the Spirit? Am I walking by the flesh? Do a little bit of a spiritual inventory in your life. Who's winning in my life? Is the flesh winning or is the Spirit winning? I wrote this down as a reality statement. What we feed grows. Amen? We starve the flesh by walking by the Spirit. Paul says, walk by the Spirit. Don't gratify the desires of the flesh, because here's what happens. If you start to indulge and satisfy all the desires of the flesh, what you'll realize is the flesh will start to win in your life, and the Spirit will start to feel like, you know what, you ever heard somebody, man, I don't really hear God the same way. I don't really sense him like I once did. Who's winning in your life? Who's getting the louder voice in your life? Speaking of March Madness, I've been watching some of these games, and there'll be a moment where in a team, one of the players might get the hot hand, might start hitting some buckets, might start making some shots. You know what you should do if somebody on your team has the hot hand? Anybody? Feed them. Feed them the ball. Let me just tell you. Let me make it plain. The Holy Spirit's the hot hand in your life. Feed them. Feed them the ball. And in turn, take the flesh out of the game. Put the flesh on the bench. The flesh is a ball hog. Come on, right? The flesh be making the wrong plays, shooting the shot on the wrong hoop. You give the flesh the ball, they'll turn around and shoot it on the wrong hoop. You got to tell the flesh, man, you got to go. I'm freezing you out. You can go in the corner and stand there, but you ain't getting the rock. When I played college basketball, if you came in and made the wrong play, you got taken out. The flesh makes the wrong plays all the time. In fact, the flesh is no help at all. And so who you feed grows. I think one of the issues is we start to feed the flesh like he's the hot hand. She's the hot hand. And the flesh is no help at all. We don't want to gratify the flesh. Let's feed the Spirit. Let's walk by the Spirit. You know, Jesus, in arguably the most difficult night of his life, Judas had just left the upper room. He leaves and he's leading his disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's in the garden that Jesus experiences a spiritual attack. There's much heaviness that's on him. One translation says that he was sweating drops of blood. He knew that around the corner was the cross, that Jesus would be taken away at any moment at this time. And Jesus looks at his disciples and notice the words of Jesus in Matthew 26, verse 41. He says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Now that right there is a good recipe for how to defeat temptation. Our greatest weapon against the temptations of sin in the flesh is our relationship with the Lord, right? It's our prayer life. It's our calling on his name, right? He goes on to say, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can I tell you today that the Holy Spirit is willing to go the distance? That the Holy Spirit is willing to show up when you need him the most. In fact, he is able. Don't feed the flesh. Feed the Spirit. He is he willing indeed? Amen. I love the fact that I was talking to Nina about our kids ministry. This is actually the lesson that our kids are walking through in our 412 kids ministry. If you have a kid fifth grade or under, we'd love for you to encourage them to check that out, the kids ministry, not just because it's childcare, but because they're learning the word of God. Like today's message is how to trust God when life gets hard. Look at Jesus. Amen. Right? And here's the reality. He's feeding the spirit. In fact, I just was thinking about this and I just developed a scoreboard. Let me put my scoreboard up on the screen. Come on, March Madness. We're still here. This scoreboard represents your life, your walk. I love how the Bible will oftentimes use the word walk as a metaphor to describe your life, your walk with Jesus. Walk by the Spirit. These verses are some of the reason why we named our church Walk Church, because it implies we have a next step. The church has a next step in following Christ. Now, when it comes to your walk, who's winning? Who's up on the scoreboard? I believe that every decision you make today, you're either feeding the flesh or feeding the Spirit. You're passing the flesh the ball, you're passing the Spirit the ball. I'm just saying, you got to get to the point where you can get, by the time you go to sleep, do some evening reflection and say, who won today? Did I even open the book? Did I feed the Spirit? Did I spend some time talking to the Lord? Was it rushed? Was it minimal? Did I give more time to the flesh? Or did I give more time to the Spirit? I think this type of conversation will make the difference in your 2025. Will this be a year to gratify the flesh or gratify the Spirit? Point number two, we talked about gratification, but point number two is don't be led by the flesh. So we don't want to gratify the flesh, and at the same time, we don't want to be led by the flesh. We want to be led by the Spirit. Here's what Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 18. Verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, there's that phrase, led by the Spirit, capital S, you are not under the law. Now, what's Paul getting at there? Well, especially if this is your first time joining us, we've been doing some work on Galatians 3 all the way up here to chapter 5 of trying to unpack and understand the difference between the law and the gospel. The law of the works of the flesh and the good news that we could never work enough. Our faith is in Jesus' finished work on the cross. That's the difference. And Paul is writing to the Galatians who were trying to be deceived and bewitched is the word that he used to describe what was happening. People were coming in and they were trying to put the law on top of the gospel, adding a plus sign to Jesus. Now, Paul has continued to labor in these verses, trying to help them see, no, we're not led by the law. We're led by the Spirit. We're not led by what we do for God. We're led by what he's done for us. We're not led by our achievements through our good works. We're led by Jesus's achievement through his good works. That's the difference, through faith, amen? And so what Paul is getting at here is saying he's not discrediting or taking away from the law. Last week, Pastor Andrew talked about how the law exposes us, amen? Right? It exposes us that we're sinful. It exposes us that we have made wrong choices. It exposes our misses and our failures. But not only that, the law also provides for the people what's called a moral compass for how to live life. So the law provided an ethical way to go about living that separated yourself from the rest of the world or the flesh. But now that we're no longer under the law because Jesus fulfilled the law with his life, his death, his resurrection, we're no longer under the law. Now we're under the Spirit. So not led by the letter, we're led by the Spirit. And which I think, and I believe the Bible attests to this, is a much better way to live life, but it's also challenging because the Holy Spirit is an incredible coach. Amen? The Holy Spirit never changes. You can't manipulate the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the same. He's the great teacher. He's the great reminder. He's the great counselor. He's the great comforter. He's the great helper. He's the great healer. He's the great Spirit. Amen? He's the Holy Spirit. And so while we're no longer under the compass of the law, we are now under the Spirit-led leadership that drives our decision-making. This is why Paul writes to the church in Rome in Romans chapter 7, helping them understand this a little bit more clearly. Here's what the verses say. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. What's that saying? Here's what our sinful passions get awakened by the law. Like if you tell a little kid, hey, just make sure you don't touch that hot stove. For some reason, that arouses a sinful heart to say, I mean, maybe just let me just test it, you know? There's something that gets aroused in the heart of a sinful person with the law, right? It's Adam and Eve, don't eat from that tree. They're like, well, there's 1,000 trees here. What's up with this tree? And that's the one that the enemy in the flesh wants to single out. And suddenly there's this arousal that happens by the law, and that produces the fruit of death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. So now we serve, we live, we walk, not under the written code, but under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the key definer. He is the seal and the evidence of the Christian life, which is why Jesus tells Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you must be born again if you want to see the kingdom of God. And born again happens through faith in Christ, the regeneration of your heart, where you get a new eye, new thought, new heart, new mind. You're a new creation, born of the Spirit, not of the flesh. Amen? That's what needs to happen for all of us through faith in Jesus. And today, if you haven't put your faith in Jesus, today I lovingly want to tell you, I want to persuade you, I want to compel you, you need to be born again. The good news is you can be. By acknowledging that you're a sinner and saying, you know what? I'm subbing the flesh out of the game. You're out of here. Technical foul on the flesh. Kick them out. And Christ, the Spirit of God, is now alive and at work in me. We don't want to be led by the flesh. We want to be led by the Spirit. Now, if you were to ask me, how am I led by the Spirit? I believe that has a lot to do with the mind. See, like the mind is the gateway, right, to your heart and to your decision-making. That's why the word repentance is actually the Greek word metanoeo. It means to change your thinking. Repent means to do a 180 in your mind before you ever do it with your feet. So to repent of your sin means to acknowledge, okay, I'm going to turn from my sin in my mind first. I'm going to turn from the ways of the flesh, and that's going to lead me in a new direction. Notice what Paul says one more time in Romans chapter 8. He speaks to the Roman church. Here's what he says to them in verse 5. Watch this. He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Did you catch it? But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Do you know what I think every single person on Las Vegas Boulevard right now is looking for? Life and peace. I think people in the world are searching and buying and selling and working to try to discover what's found in the Spirit. And church, maybe you can sense some intensity here today, but I want you to. You know why? What's on the line here? Look at the wording. The set the mind on the flesh, this is life and death talk, church. We really got to lean into this, George. The mind that is set on the flesh will kill you. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So you got to ask yourself, am I living in the flesh? Am I living in the Spirit? And I think, according to what Paul says in Romans 7, he says, you know, some days are better than the others. It depends on who you're feeding. Some days I feel like I want to do the right thing, and I do the wrong thing, and I do the thing that I hate, and I do the thing that I love. Who will deliver me from this body of sin and death, Paul says? It's the Spirit. It's Christ. We need help. He's the helper. Amen? So we want to renew our minds constantly to be led by the Spirit. You know what that means? Here's what this means, church. Hear me on this. This means that we are daily, hourly, moment by moment, renewing and refreshing our minds with the things of the Spirit. At the same time, we're repenting of the things of the flesh. And I think it's a challenge, but I think it's a worthy challenge that we are called to do. And you got to check your heart and say, okay, who am I letting win? Who's winning this game? Here's what I realized. Where the Spirit will tell you to be humble, the flesh will tell you to be prideful. Who are you going to let win? Where the Spirit will tell you to own your part in the wrongdoing, the flesh will rise up and tell you to make excuses and justify yourself. Who are you going to let win? Where the Spirit will tell you to read the Word, the flesh will tell you to scroll the app. Who are you going to let win? Where the Spirit wakes you up at 4 a.m. and you are up and it makes no sense and He wants to spend time with you, the flesh will say, go back to sleep. I'm all for rest, but there's this battle going on with the Spirit and the flesh. When sometimes the Holy Spirit says, I'm encouraging you, what you need in this season is to implement fasting. The flesh will rise up and say, well, but I do have, and we have this wrestle going on, and I want to encourage you to ask this question. Who's going to win in my life? The Spirit or the flesh? I had this moment recently where, you know what, church, I'm going to be honest with you. I started going back to the gym. Come on, somebody, right? Too much applause on that. Like, man, I was praying for that. No, I just realized I had a long hiatus. I was paying for a gym membership I wasn't using. It's probably like a whole sermon illustration in that. But I realized, you know what, I need to go back. So I started going back to the gym. And then I overheard somebody at the gym say, hey, you know what? In order to really like sweat out the toxins and get your body right, man, you got to go spend 15 minutes in the sauna. And I was like, oh, word, all right, well, I'm going to be with the cool guys. And after my workout, I went and popped in the sauna, and I'm sitting in there, and after like 2 minutes, I'm like, 15? This 2 minutes was intense. Woo. And I look over, and I make eye contact, and this is a guy that I recently met at our church. I go, hey, well, bro, what's up? He's like, hey, bro, what's up? And then we start having this like deep Christian conversation with other people in the sauna. We're being those guys. So this bro says, you know what, man, dude, so good to see you. Praise God. I'm glad you were here. I got to bounce, but good to see you. He leaves and gets up. I look at my clock. I still got about another 4 minutes in here. Suddenly, this individual says, hey, I was overhearing your guys' conversation. So I go, oh, man, right on. And he goes, dude, nice to meet you. He introduces himself. I introduce myself. We start having a fellowship. But can I just be 100? I was ready to go. Like, man, awesome, bro. Like, man, hey, he goes, dude, I've been looking for a church. I said, man, I would love to invite you to church. I tell him a little bit about, I said, I know a church. I've been going to a church. You should go. Tell him about Walk Church. And I'm doing that thing where I'm like halfway leaving. I'm like, no, man, for real, bro. Check it out. Find me. I'll be there. We'll love it. Doors open. 15 minutes. I'm like on 16 now, bro. Like, all right, peace. So I go, get in my car. I say, you know what? I'm gonna go get a protein shake. Driving down the street, I'm at the light, and I sense the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. Go back and talk to that guy. And so I said, no. I did my part. I met two people in the sauna. I had a great fellowship. We had a whole charge group. We sweated everything out. I walked out. I'm on my way. I know where I'm going. I go to the next light, hit the red light, and I can sense the check in my spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, you do what you want to do, but I'm giving you the play. And so I hit a U-turn, and I turn back. I check back in. Beep. Hey, guys, yeah, I'm back. Yeah, it's all good. Power walk over there to the bathroom. In my head, low-key hoping he's not there. Very fleshy. But I'm being obedient. Walk in, sitting right there. He looks at me. Man, I was hoping you'd come back. Oh, yeah, me too. Right? Man, no. And he goes, dude, I've been opening up the Bible again. I was in Matthew 13. He goes, I was reading this parable about the sower and the seeds. And can you explain? I want someone to explain it to me. Can you explain to me what's going on there? I get to share with him the word. I get to share with him. And now I'm sensing the Spirit of God is wanting to do something here. And I get a chance to play. I get a chance to be a part. I get a chance to be a vessel. Amen. Lord, use me, God. Right? And I was able to encourage him and share. I doubled down on my sauna time. Come on, right? And we just had this great fellowship, and we walked out together and exchanged information. And hey, if you're here today, bro, I'm glad you're here, man. Come on. I'm not sure if you are or not, but here's what I know. I'll always enjoy a ride home better having been obedient to the Spirit than having denied the Spirit. Amen. I'll tell you what, you know what's more joyful is when the Spirit of God prompts you to do something and you do it. When you obey the Holy Spirit, everyone wins. In your family, in your neighborhood, in your house, in your own life, when the Spirit of God prompts you and touches you and teaches you, here's the question. Are you led by the Spirit? Are you willing to do a U-turn? Are you willing to say, okay, hey, look, I'm walking by faith. Just trust it. I'm trusting him with what he's put on my heart. If the Holy Spirit says, call this person, can you do it? Can you apologize? Can you forgive? Can you repent? Can you change your thinking? Can you set your mind on the Spirit, or are you going to set your mind on the flesh? The flesh is always going to say, do it your way. But the Spirit's going to say, do it his way. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Amen? There's freedom to enjoy what he has for us. Jeremiah the prophet, in Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? You know what? I think the only one who can actually understand the depths of our heart is the Spirit. In fact, Proverbs says the Spirit searches us and tests our motives, tests our heart. So I would even encourage you today, check your heart before you start. Examine your heart. The heart is deceitful. In other words, your heart will deceive you. So I'm a fan of not trusting your heart, but trusting the Spirit who's leading your heart.
Yeah.
Come on, amen. Holy Spirit, lead my heart. Lead my sick and deceptive. My heart will deceive me every single time. Your own conscience. That's why Paul will speak of the weaker conscience, or persuading the conscience all of a sudden could get hardened. We need the Holy Spirit that doesn't change. And that leads me to my third and final point as we get ready to close. We talked about don't gratify the flesh. We talked about don't be led by the flesh. This final point is, don't be deceived by the flesh. Instead, be redeemed by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a redeemer, amen? Look at what these verses teach us, jumping back into Paul's set of sins and flesh actions that he's about to pull on. Galatians 5, verse 19. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity. Now, it could be a good study to just try to define what's the difference here. There's a difference. Paul's trying to identify all of it. Sensuality, when you posture yourself in a sexual way without having to actually do the act. I think social media has fallen into the trap of sensuality. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy. Do you find yourself oftentimes having fits of anger? Then you need to check the flesh and see who's winning. Rivalries. Rivalries is when you feel like you're in competition with everyone. You always got to one-up somebody. Somebody shares a moment. Hey, how about we do a better job of celebrating other people's wins? Come on. Somebody has a victory. Somebody has a win. Somebody has a promotion. You don't have to rival that. Oh, let me tell you about one time I. Let's just celebrate that the way the Holy Spirit celebrates it. Dissensions, divisions, envy, the comparison traps, wanting what somebody else has, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And I'm grateful that the Apostle Paul wrote down the "and things like these," because there's somebody who's here right now or who's watching this and they're going, "You didn't name my thing." And you're like, "Hey, I was looking for it on the list. It was coming and then it wasn't on there." Bro, that's things like these. Sister, that's things like these. If you have to ask, is that one of those things? It's things like that, all right? Now, here's what Paul says, and I think we should lean in because this is the scriptures teaching us here. He says, I warn you. We should be aware of the warnings of the Bible. That might be a good series. Let's just preach on all the warnings. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Paul here gives this warning. He says, if you find yourself living a lifestyle where these things are a pattern, these things are regular, these things are the normal for you, you likely are not actually saved because the Spirit of God is not having his way in your life. You won't inherit the kingdom of God that way. You'll miss out on the kingdom if you're allowing the flesh to win. Likely, I want to pull from one more passage and then we'll be done. And that is what Paul writes in a very similar way to the church in Corinth, the Corinthian church in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Paul is, again, relaying similar talk, similar teaching. This time, here's what he says. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Second time he says it, right? Here, just go ahead and nudge the person next to you and say, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. You know what's the most unloving thing you could do? Is know somebody's being deceived and not say nothing. You know this person's being deceived. They're in a scheme. They're in a scam. This is not going to end well for the person, but you don't ever actually let them know that. Paul is saying, I don't want to be that type of friend or pastor to the Corinthians. He says, no, do not be deceived, church. Neither the sexually immoral nor idolaters, people that have idols in their life before the Lord, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what I don't want to do here is isolate any of these and make it like an elite level all-star sin. We're all in there somewhere. Whether it's the Galatians list or the 1 Corinthians list, find yourself in there somewhere and identify, okay, this area in the flesh, this area of unrighteousness in my life, I need to repent of. I need to change my thinking about. Because the mind that's set on the flesh is death, but the mind that's set on the spirit is life and peace. For those who are in the flesh are hostile to God. I don't want to be on the other side. I don't want it to be God versus me. I want to just be on his team. Come on, right? I don't want to be hostile to the Lord, but that has to do with your thinking. Mind set on the spirit. Do not be deceived. But can I just tell you my favorite part of the passage is I'm about to share it. I'm ready. Here we go. Verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. You were washed, sanctified, justified. Wow. Talk about a three-pointer right there. What did, hey, all types of sinful components on the last slide, right? What does the Holy Spirit do for you? What does the gospel do for you? Washed, sanctified, justified. Wow. Washes us of our sin, our flesh, our wrongdoings, our unrighteousness. Sanctifies us, in other words, continues to conform us to the image of Jesus. We're all continuing to be more and sanctified in all the areas of our lives, and justifies us before God the Father, just if I'd never sinned. Justified before God through faith in Jesus in the name of our Lord. We don't show up in our name, we show up in his name. It's his spirit. It's the spirit of our God. And so today, if you are here and you feel like, man, if we look at that scoreboard and it feels like the flesh is winning, today you can be washed. Today you can be made new. We saw three people get baptized earlier today, each one sharing a testimony of repentance and faith. I turned from and I turned to. And baptism is just evidence of the washing. It's the public declaration of the inner washing. That can happen through faith in Jesus. And you can start today. You can start walking by the Spirit and no longer walking by the flesh. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word today. And God, I know that I needed this word. And I believe somebody online needed this word. I believe somebody in the room needed this word. And God, I do pray if there's one person here in this room that does not know you as Lord and does not know you as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation and that you would free them of their sins, of the flesh, and give them a new heart and a new mind. If that's you and you're here today and you recognize, you know what, I need to be saved. I'm ready to repent. I'm ready to go all in. Would you just lift your hand as just the evidence of your faith in Christ? God, I just want, keep your hand up if you're there. I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me right now. Just put your hand up like you're grabbing the Lord's hand. Let's call on his name together. For all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's call on his name. Say, Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I pray now that you would forgive me of all my sins and that you would fill me with your spirit. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe Jesus rose from the grave. And I believe that he's for me. Not against me. Make me new. Redeem me. Restore me. free me. I'm ready to walk by the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So good. Hey, stay with me for one more second. I want to just pray one more prayer. Just feel it on my heart today. And Father, I just go back into this moment of prayer. I just sense there's likely people in the room today that are saved, that have been baptized, that have responded, that have put their trust in you, but are letting the flesh win. And it could be in a variety of different ways. If that's you right now, and you just feel like, you know what, I'm tired of the flesh winning in my life. That scoreboard doesn't look right. I'm ready to swap that. I'm ready to get that right. You know Jesus, but you feel like the Spirit has been leading you and you haven't been obeying his promptings. And you need help. And there is grace. If that's you today, would you just lift your hand? Don't worry if anybody else sees you. We're all just in this moment of prayer. Just know that the Spirit sees you and he loves you. God, I'm grateful that I'm in a room of real people with real struggle, with a real God, real grace. God, every one of us with our hand up, Lord, help us to experience your power and your victory by the Holy Spirit. God, we're acknowledging with our hand up that we need your help. We can't win this battle on our own. So with our hand up, it's a spirit of surrender. Help us do it, God. Fill us now and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.